Nudson.
What's up, Tursky?
This is Two Guys Talking Golf.
That's right, baby. New year. New year, new us.
2023.
The Jordan year. That's right. I haven't messed it up too much yet. I haven't messed up too many things yet and had to, erase it and put 2023 back on instead of 2022. So I feel good.
I've done it a couple times already. I'm not going to lie. Well, we have the absolute hottest equipment week of the year.
Dude, insane, man. Like, absolutely crazy. Like, it was just, as the kids call it, like what? Like, just banger after banger.
Banger after banger.
You know, I mean,
right.
Just.
Well, there's not much competition since we're only 1 week into the year. So it was going to be the hottest and the coldest, I guess, regardless. But you always expect, like, the first week, the Century Tournament of Champions, a bunch of gear stuff to go down. But this was a little absurd.
It was, I mean, it's almost a bummer that it was only you there and Greg wasn't able to make it. Like, if both of you were there, I can't imagine. I mean, there'd be so many photos, we wouldn't even, it would take us four episodes to go through it all.
I just don't think Greg's a Hawaii guy.
No, you can't see him wearing like a little Hawaiian shirt, you know, little Hawaiian shirt in a lei or whatever it is.
I don't think that's his vibe for some reason.
I don't think so either.
If you see the background of the last podcast that we had on YouTube, you'll understand why I say that.
It wasn't palm trees and coconuts.
No, it wasn't flower lays hanging in the back.
Nope. So. But, it's crazy. I like I said, I knew you were going out there, which was pretty cool. And you are, and it's not your first time in Hawaii. You've spent some decent time out there, but, I was super excited to see what you were going to come up with. And you did not disappoint because the forums, it's crazy. It's just nuts. So,
yeah, we got about 27 topics today.
Oh, it's crazy.
So I guess we're just going to have a 5 hour show. Right in. I guess I wanted to get a couple of things out of the way real quick.
All right.
So I want to get your thoughts. No laying up signs with Titleist. Callaway signs good. I don't know if people know what good is, but very popular YouTube channel. I think a little younger demographic, I would say.
Definitely.
I was watching some stuff on YouTube last night. The no laying up, their first video with Titleist, it was Soli and I forget the other guy's name. They played against Justin Thomas and Jordan Spieth at Kapalua. So they came out pretty hot with their first Titleist video. And then Good came out with their first Callaway videos. They had a bunch of stuff go out on social media. A couple different videos on YouTube. They played like 13... 3-on-3 scramble matches against like 13 different pros. And I was watching a little sit down with them. And it seems like they have plans to come out with like a good line of golf clubs with Callaway. So I don't know exactly what that's all looking like going forward. Whether like equipment buyers will be into something like that, the good, but it seems like they have a huge audience and definitely a big enough audience for Callaway to really sign them and not just like, oh, good is playing Callaway clubs. It's like they're really getting in there. It doesn't seem like that's what Titleist is doing. It seems like that's more for media content, but good seems like a huge thing. So I just want to get your thoughts. I know you're kind of a Callaway guy.
I'm an everybody guy. I mean, I'm a full open free agent, whatever is the best, that I like playing, I'm going to put in the bag. But yeah, I've got, a special, I mean, our boy J-Dub is over there. I was a Callaway demo day guy for 7-8 years, something like that. So yeah, I mean, I've always had some Callaway love. It's interesting. I didn't really follow good, to be honest. Like you said, they're a little bit younger. I mean, I'm 41. I've watched a couple of their videos, totally respect what they built. Yeah. I mean, 1 million+ subscribers on YouTube. Their content doesn't grab me. They go play and that's great. It doesn't suck me in. Like I said, I've watched a few videos just to see what they're about. And like I said, I'm not saying that as a bad thing. It's just maybe I don't understand it because I'm too old and all the stuff going on is for younger dudes. The club thing is interesting though.
Yeah.
Because if you look at it as the normal consumer of golf clubs, which is someone who is older, you know, has a career, has a job, has a family, whatever. That is the main purchaser of golf clubs, right? Like the guy who has been out of college, who has a career, to older retired guys. Those are the people who buy clubs for the most part. I think it's going to be really interesting to see if those clubs sell with a good, good logo or inspiration, however it's done, because their audience is so young that they will ask that parent for it, you know, or they will ask for it for a birthday or Christmas or a holiday or something like that, where they may not be necessarily spending their own money on it. So it may work. The other part I look at is, look at Nicklaus failed, Hogan failed. I mean, you look at all these huge names that had their own brand, like clubs, and they never really worked out. It's going to be interesting. I think their dynamic is a little different. So I think they have a shot, but they're also not going to sell like, they're not going to sell as many as Callaway. They're not going to sell as many Paradigm drivers. They're not going to sell as many good, good drivers. Never going to happen.
I mean, if they do junior sets, I think it might work.
And I think also it depends on the price point. If it's a $600 driver and a $1,500 set of irons, you're wasting your time on that. If it's, like you said, if it's like a junior sets and stuff that's a price conscious type thing where it's a good quality club for a driver's $300 or a set of irons is, you know, $750 or $700, I think you got a chance. They got a legit chance. But yeah, it'll be interesting. Like, those guys are content juggernauts, and they've absolutely killed it. So like I said, I've got all the respect in the world for what they've done. You know, I'm not a follower. It's not my cup of tea. But the equipment thing is interesting. And I think if you would have told me that happened, say, last year or 2 years ago, I'd be like, failure. Pure failure. I'd be the hater. But I think now, looking at it and what they've built and what they do, I think it's got a shot to be somewhat successful.
I just think it's interesting because equipment deals are kind of going away on the PGA Tour. You know, obviously the high-end guys are still going to get high-end value, but the middle tier seems to be going away a little bit. And then you got TaylorMade with Barstool, Good with Callaway, Titleist with no lining up. It's like these content creators are getting bigger deals than actual players. So I just think the landscape's changing a little bit, and it's interesting to see, you know, the biggest companies get involved.
And I think there's something to be said about that too. I mean, you think, okay, like the biggest names like Rory, I mean, their outreach is pretty massive, but it's not consistently massive. Like, you look at a No Laying Up or a Good or Barstool, they're putting out content to, let's say, an equal subscriber base or like a visual base every single week. Like, they've got videos and, you know, all that. When does Rory post? Like, a couple times?
Well, he doesn't.
Maybe a month?
His social media guy definitely does.
But. Yeah. But even that, how many posts do you get? Like, a couple a month, maybe? You know, you look at what they do, and yes, he's got the TV time, but the younger generation doesn't watch as much TV. They watch a lot of YouTube, and these guys dominate YouTube and podcasts and everything else. So I think there's a good reason to have it. I think the value is definitely there. I don't know what these deals are worth, you know, to these brands. They could be monstrous. They could, who knows? But I think there's definitely a reason to do it. I think there's definitely value there compared to a, let's call it a mid-level PGA pro.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if you're going to pay the same amount, you can make that argument, but the No Laying Up thing's interesting too, because they were, it seemed like them and Callaway were so tight. Like, very, it was like surprising. They were, it wasn't even, it was almost like more of a relationship of like friends than it was really like a brand deal. And to see them leave was very, I was very surprised at that one. I thought they were going to kind of be like, you know, Callaway for lifers type of guys. And I think their brand fits with Titleist really well. It was just really surprising to see them go.
All right, Nudes, we can move along to the pros now. hats off to all the content guys out there getting the money, though.
Yeah.
You know, good for them.
Hey, you know, exactly. I tell you what, though, like, I'm not for sale. So I'm just letting you know, I'm not for sale.
You just got a big Fujikura logo on your sleeve right now, though.
Well, I mean, if you send me a free shirt, I'm going to wear the shirt, but.
All right. Anyway, I mean, we have about 26 topics from Capital.
Yeah.
let's get into it now.
All right.
Okay. This is what the people came for, I'm sure.
Oh, have to.
So I get there, and pretty much immediately I see Colin Morikawa's bag. He's got the Stealth 2 staff bag already. And I approach his bag. I'm trying to see what's in the bag. As we talked about with Greg, our pet peeve is golf bags on carts, and that's what we had this week, unfortunately.
Oh, really? Again?
Yeah. But I was able to get some in-hands of his driver and the 3-wood he was testing. He does have the TaylorMade Stealth 2 Plus driver in the bag. Pretty immediately, you can see the sole was a little bit different. Had
Yep.
the sliding weight track towards the front, silver, silvered out sliding weight track. Definitely glossy on the crown. Still has the red carbon face. Still has pretty much the same shape from a dress as far as I could tell. I did take some in-hand photos from a dress, and I kind of just looked at it because I was curious. It was actually my first time seeing the Stealth 2 Plus or any Stealth 2 products in person, so that was pretty exciting. And then he had a Stealth 2 Plus fairway wood in the bag
Yep.
as well that he was testing. I think he might have switched back into the sim, but I'm not positive on the fairway wood just yet. But definitely a big old sliding weight track in the sole there, and definitely a unique little mechanism that it has as well. So what were your thoughts seeing the photos? The Stealth 2 Plus, not the Stealth 2, Stealth 2 Plus,
Yep.
that was in Colin's bag.
I like it. I like the look of it. I think it looks really sharp. Like you said, the gloss to it. I know there's the camp that loves matte finishes, the camp that loves gloss finishes, and which one's best. I mean, that's going to depend on the player. But you're right. I think it looks really good. I think it looks really kind of classy. The way they did the red and the black, the sliding weight track up front, which is pretty familiar. The weight looks pretty massive. Compared to previous generations, the
Yep.
weight is definitely bigger looking. I think the
Redesigned
one,
for sure.
yeah, and I think the one here in the photo you have is like 15 grams or something like that, 15 or 16 grams. So maybe a touch heavier than the Stealth before it or Stealth Plus before it. But really, like I said, a good looking driver. I think from a dress, I like the glossy crown. I think it looks really good. When I custom ordered my OG Stealth, I did the gloss top in black because I just thought it looked really nice. But overall, yeah, I mean, it's TaylorMade didn't mess up the shape. They know that, the people who like TaylorMade driver look, they're going to get it here. And overall, yeah, the face looks to be very similar, still the 60X carbon twist face. So that looks to be, there's probably some differences. I mean, when we find out when it does launch, we'll find out some tech. I mean, you and I are just kind of making assumptions here, but looks to be very similar, same red. But overall, I like it. I think it looks really good. I'm excited to see it in person, and take it and hit it when I get my hands on it. Like you said, the 3-wood is definitely interesting. That weight, I think it says 50 grams on it,
I
which
know,
is
yeah.
a massive amount of weight.
And just the system in general that's kind of holding the weight, it definitely looks like it's heavy. So
Yeah.
it's on the sole though, so
Yeah.
it's dragging a lot of weight downward. I don't think it's in a bad spot. And he definitely had, what was it, 13 and a half degree? I think it was a rocket head.
Yeah, Rocket 13.5, yeah.
That thing probably just hits bullets.
And it is the Stealth 2, the titanium one. So so I'm assuming it's got the titanium face, much like, the one before it. But yeah, that whole mechanism, it looks like it has like three or four positions that it can lock into. So it looks like you can slide the weight really far back or really far forward. So I'm gonna assume if you want to take a ton of spin off, you slide it all the way forward, lock it in. And if you wanna probably add some spin and add some launch and forgiveness, you slide it all the way back. And
He had his all the way towards the front, which there's probably zero spin and no launch on that thing. Definitely a great wind ball.
And I know there were a lot of rumors in the forum talking about they thought like Stealth 2, whatever the replacement would be, would have carbon faced fairways, and this definitely doesn't. It's got
That's what I thought.
a I'm going to assume it's a titanium face because, it says titanium on the sole, so I'm going to assume a titanium face on this one. But yeah, no red carbon face on this fairway right now. But still keeps some of the key things. It's got the carbon crown. It's got that little white alignment line on the very top of the face. So a lot of very familiar things. And I think again, shape wise, it looks really good. Looking down into the address photo, looks awesome.
Are you surprised they didn't go with a different color? I was expecting something different than the red.
You know, Yeah, I kind of, you know, I kind of, I probably thought they would maybe go back to either like blue again or something. They kind of alternate between kind of like red and blue.
Just something to change maybe the face color, because it's going to be hard to tell, you know, on TV whether they're playing the old one or the new one. Maybe they did that on purpose. I'm not sure.
That's a good point. Yeah, I thought, like I said, I thought we might see blue, and then thought we maybe, you know, from black going to back to white again as like the primary kind of colors also. So yeah, I'm a little surprised to see red again, but I think it looks pretty sharp in the driver though, man. Like the red around the outside on the sole, it looks pretty sharp, man. It's a bright red. It looks pretty good.
What are you looking for from the Stealth 2?
I think for me, I mean, Stealth for me was a really good driver. I played a lot of it last year. I think Stealth 2, I'd like to see maybe, you know, for me, maybe just a little bit more stability in the Plus model. I played the Plus last year, and if I got really, you know, kind of the swing got really out of sorts, it could go left, you know, it could go left or right for me pretty good. I'd like to see like a little more stability into it. Other than that, I mean, the sound was good. The feel was good. I was shocked at how good the carbon face felt. And then maybe, I mean, like everybody, some better ball speed on miss hits was always good, because I'm never always in the center.
You're a big miss hit guy. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. I'm a low heel, high toe guy. So like I've got both in the bag. So let's see a little more speed out of that. But I think some increased stability, and while keeping the sound and feel and everything else the same, would be awesome.
I mean, I was gonna say the same thing with Stealth too. I'm definitely looking for just a touch more forgiveness. I felt the Stealth was a little bit squirrely for me on off-center hits. I didn't play it very much last year. I did play the Rogue STLS. I'm not going to sit here and lie to the people. I didn't really play much Stealth, because in my testing, I felt it was just a little bit squirrely. I do tend to miss it out on the toe, and the misses just weren't what I was expecting ball speed number-wise. So when I test the Stealth 2, I'll probably put it up against a Stealth and whatever my current gamer is at the time. I think we'll probably get into that here in a second. but, you know, for TaylorMade Stealth fans, I think they're going to love the Stealth too. You know, some minor improvements in terms of, like we said, stability. And I think dialing in that spin, you know, you just have a little bit more control over where the CG is at with the Stealth 2, it seems. Now, like you said, we don't have tech details, retail release date, pricing, we don't have anything like that yet. But we do have Scotty Scheffler, who also switched into the Stealth 2 Plus driver. He talked about it a little bit, actually. I did ask him in his press conference a little bit about it. He went pretty far in depth, you know, as far as like talking about gear in a press conference can go. You know, that's not as in-depth as like 10 minutes one-on-one with the guy where he really gets into testing, but that was the only opportunity I had to ask Scotty. I guess I'll just tease the article. I'll make the people go over to PGAtour.com to read Scheffler's thoughts on the driver. He talked about the 3-wood a little bit too. Now, he went into just the Stealth 2, like stock fairway wood head. It wasn't the Plus, and it's also at 15 degrees. Now, what he said about the fairway wood was that he felt like he could hit down on it a little bit more, and he was still getting that launch and distance correct. So that was probably just a ball flight thing and a comfort thing in terms of, like, the numbers he wanted to hit, the shots he wanted. Yeah. You know, that's probably why he went with Stealth 2 instead of the 2 Plus. Now, the stock head did not have the sliding sole weight, so if that's not something you're into or you want, it did look like the profile was slightly bigger than the Stealth 2 Plus, so probably more of just like a generic head that's for everyone, whereas the Stealth 2 Plus is more for that guy who really wants to work the ball, hit it low, and well, especially with that Colin Morikawa build with the rock 13.5 with the weight all the way forward. But that just gives you a little bit more ability to dial stuff in. So
yeah.
That's pretty much what I had with the TaylorMade Stealth 2. We got all the photos up in the Golf WRX forums. I know we have a bunch of stuff out on Instagram as well. We're at Golf WRX on Instagram. Any closing thoughts on the TaylorMade Stealth 2? I mean, two of some of the biggest TaylorMade staffers switched pretty quickly into the driver, so definitely a good sign.
Yeah. No, I think driver wise, like you said, I mean, I think a lot of guys switch into stealth a lot quicker than we thought it would be, especially with the carbon face. So not really shocked that a lot of guys are moving to stealth too. That's usually when it's not quite as big of a change, you'll see it go a little faster. The interesting thing that I will say about the Stealth 2 fairway in Scheffler's bag is it looks like he's had it for a little while, because it seems to be a little wear mark on
I
the
know.
face. He's got a little wear. Morikawa's look brand new, which he said he was still testing. We
I
didn't know
think
if
he
he was going to
was
make it in the
just
bag
testing
yet.
it like at the course and the range that week. I mean, I don't
Yeah, so
think it
his.
didn't sound like he had it for very long. So I think he was
Yeah.
just testing it out, giving it a try.
And Scheffler looks like he's had his for a little bit,
He
because
likes
his
it.
has, yeah, he's got a little wear on the face, a little wear on the sole. He's definitely hit a few shots with his. But no, I mean, the last thing I say, the Stealth 2, the Scheffler is the bonded one. The sole looks like they've kind of smoothed it out a little bit compared to like Sim 2 Max and even the first Stealth. It's a little smooth, might have better turf interaction through the rough. It just looks, doesn't have as many like concaves and angles on it. It's just a little bit smoother, which is which looks kind of nice. So it'll be interesting to see when when us mortals get to finally hit
All right, we'll go just down the road in Carlsbad. We'll go up the street, make a right and then a left. We also got the Callaway Paradigm that dropped,
Yep.
and this officially dropped, so there's full tech details, all the info. GolfWX.com would be a great place to go learn about the new clubs, but we officially saw them go into some golf bags out there. Now,
Yeah.
Xander threw it in the bag. He just withdrew, though.
Oh, did
He just withdrew from the event, but he was playing the Paradigm. He has the triple diamond, not an S model. It looked like just regular triple diamond, but he did put Sharpie lines on the face, which we'll probably talk about in a second. People are going wild about those. Rom also put in a triple diamond. Then he put in a triple diamond T 3 wood, triple diamond T 5 wood as well. So a lot of action in John Rahm's bag, who isn't
Yeah.
really a guy that I'm sure loves to switch. I think he likes to kind of stay with what he's got. He doesn't switch around too much other than the putter every now and then. And then Sam Burns was also testing a triple diamond, but he wasn't sure whether he was going to play it or not. And I haven't checked Getty if he changed, but guys are definitely excited about the Paradigm. We can officially talk about it now. I have hit it. I'm not sure if you've hit it, but
I have.
you got to look at all the photos at least. So you have hit it.
I have one right there.
Okay.
Actually,
Well, let me get your
this is
thoughts.
the one. This one now has a little, but I do have the regular head over on my
Okay. That one's going to be
that.
tough to hit.
This looks to be tough to hit when the back comes off. But no, I've got the heads over on my workbench just over there, and I was hitting them this week. So yeah.
So I have played the Rogue STLS for about a year now. Love the driver. And so
You
I
played the
definitely
triple
have
diamond.
some. Yeah.
The
Triple
triple
diamond.
diamond else, yep.
I definitely have some thoughts about the testing, but I want to hear your thoughts first.
So far, like I've I mean, which I said on my podcast, I've kind of said I have struggled with Callaway drivers since the original Epic. The original Epic I hit really well. I liked that driver a lot. That was a great one. And then everything since then has been a struggle for me to find something that really works well. And Rogue ST Max LS last year was pretty close. It was one of the, it was that Stealth, and then at the end of the year TSR two that were kind of in the rotation for me all year. So Stealth and Max LS I kind of hit a lot of. Really impressed with Paradigm. I think sound and feel is absolutely fantastic. They're super muted. They just sound, I mean, they're so quiet. It's amazing, but they feel really solid. And honestly, the biggest shocker to me, because I had all three heads, I had one shaft, all three heads, and I was just swapping them out. And I had a launch monitor there, hitting balls. Shocked at how good the spin consistency is. When you hit it dead center, when you miss it high toe, when you miss it low heel, the spin does not jump up or drop almost at all. Like it stays extremely consistent on the misses. And I didn't even notice it when I was hitting balls. Went back when I was kind of like getting ready to do my show and realized, like, man, like you looked at the spin numbers and they didn't fluctuate. It was really impressive. So some good stuff happened on some miss hits. So I'm impressed so far.
Yeah, so I went to ECPC maybe 2, 3 weeks ago.
Yep.
I brought my gamers, I warmed up with my gamers and I hit my driver. We had a GC quad going, I believe, and a TrackMan. No, ooh, we just had a GC. We just had a GC quad, I think. So I wanted to put the Rogue ST right up against Paradigm because I'd been playing it, and I even told the fitter, I was like, I don't think you're going to be able to beat it because I've been driving it well. I love this driver. Like, there's something to be said for the comfort factor, too. Like, I had my gamer shaft, my grip on it, everything. So I hit that, got my baseline numbers. We switched out the shaft I already had in my gamer, put it directly into a triple diamond head. So it's, like, perfectly apples to apples, right?
Yep.
Just immediately jumps about 3 miles per hour, ball speed, spin window way better, launch way better. And then we even got a little bit more dialed with the shaft when we started playing around with testing some different shafts out and just cranking the hosel a little bit. I think I picked up about 9 yards.
Well, yeah.
And it's also like way softer feeling. The sound is so much more muted. I didn't even dislike the sound of the Rogue.
No.
It was just like when you hit them back to back, it's so much higher pitch, the Rogue. And the Paradigm's so much more muted. And I do feel like listeners at this point are probably like, wow, these two are just gassing up the Paradigm. Like, this must be a paid-for ad. It's like, no, I just tell the truth of my experience. I mean, I told you with the TaylorMade Stealth, a little bit squirrely last year, willing to give the Stealth 2 a shot. I went into the Paradigm testing, like, not even really wanting to like it because I didn't want to switch. But it just feels really, really good. Say what you want about the look. Like, maybe you don't like navy blue. Maybe you don't like the marbling that kind of looks like a bowling ball. Maybe you're like Xander and you want to see a little bit more of the face, so you apply Sharpie markers. Like, you know, it is what it is. A lot of things come down to personal preference. It just so happens that this one kind of fits my preference in terms of look, sound, feel, and performance. So yeah. I'm going to get the driver that I got fit into. I'll redo the testing. I'll probably put it on like Instagram, or we'll talk about it here, or I'll write an article about it or something. But I definitely want to do some, you know, some homework away from ECPC, because sometimes I don't trust, you know, fitters at an OEM. You know, it just is what it is. Like, I don't know if they're normalizing then unnormalizing, or, you know, throwing out outliers where I wouldn't have. But, you know, from my experience, it was hitting a little bit different window, and it was clearly the dispersion was tightened in. Like I said, I tend to miss it on the toe, and the forgiveness on the toe of the Paradigm is definitely higher. That's what I feel. That's what the numbers were saying at the time, at least. So I'm going to redo the test. We'll follow back up probably next week. I should have the driver in my hand by next week, and I'm not going to be at the Sony Open, so I have plenty of time. You know, I'll bring a quad out to the range and just post up for an hour and a half and get like 100 shots with each driver to verify something crazy like that. But the pros were saying it was a seamless switch. Callaway seems really excited in terms of so much content is coming out around the Paradigm. They're definitely, it's like a big push. Whereas last year, I didn't feel like the Rogue ST, it almost like slid under the radar, and it didn't really pick up on the market and, you know, on the internet and in the forums and stuff like that until like 6 months down the road, until after the release, when people started hitting it and they were like, oh wait, this is really good. You know, because I feel like Stealth kind of had all the attention last year with the red carbon face. Which is understandable because it's like a carbon face. I mean, I got to try that. And then when you hit it, you know, it doesn't feel that different to titanium. You almost couldn't even tell the difference. So it's like when you get those fast ball speeds, it definitely had the wow factor. And the Rogue just kind of slid under the radar because it was just like a forgiving, slightly better version of the previous. But I do feel like Paradigm took a big... I mean, I don't want to say paradigm shift, but it does feel like it was a big shift for them. Like, they tackled looks, feel, and performance. So,
Yeah, that was, I tell you what, that was the one thing, you know, just in terms of looks alone. And again, like you said, the blue carbon, whatever, like that's personal preference. You know, you're gonna,
Personal.
some people hate the red face on the stealth, so whatever, that's fine. The thing I didn't like about that Rogue, like the Rogue Max or the Rogue ST Max LS, which is what I kind of played, was there was a transition from the hosel to the top line that just kind of had this little bend in it, this little quirky bend. And they all kind of had a version of it. The Triple Diamond, not so much, but the shaping on the Paradigm to me is just so much better to my eye. It's much more rounded. It's not as stretched out looking from face to back. It's more proportionate to my eye. And overall, just from a look standpoint alone, I think the Paradigm's a huge, huge upgrade. But like you said, the performance. I mean, I remember you were at DCPs. You text me, or I texted you about something. You're like, dude, I think that I've been hitting this 9 to 10 yards longer than my Rogue ST. And I was like, because you raved about Rogue ST all last year. Every time you and I were together, it was like, you were like, this is like my driver. This is like my boy. We went to another OEM. You're like, I don't think they're going to be able to beat it. Like, you were all about it. So for you to text me and say, yeah, this thing's that good, I was like, okay, this thing's, it's got some legitimacy if Turski's already impressed. So
I'm not
it'll
lying.
be,
I don't just say stuff, you know? I'm
no, and
telling
you're
the
not
truth.
like me. Like, you don't just throw stuff in the bag because it's new. Like, for you, it's got to work and it's got to be proven and all that. Like, you definitely are open to change, but it takes a lot more for you to change than me. Like, me, you can just change a color and I'll throw it in the bag. I don't care. Where
That's
for
true. I can
you,
verify.
you have to see some proof. And like I said, you seem pretty excited. I finally, like I said, I hit all three heads. I spent like 2 hours at the range with the full swing launch monitor, just pounding balls. People are probably like, look at this idiot with his hitting drivers, but they are really solid. And like I said, I like right now, I like them better than Rogue at the moment. We'll see when I finally get them on course and all that, but right now I'm impressed.
I don't want to switch. Like, when new stuff comes out, I almost don't want to like it. So I'm
Yeah.
almost the opposite of you. Because it's like I'm comfortable. I know my
Yeah.
misses, I know my numbers, I feel comfortable. And with the Rogue, I just liked it. So I didn't really want the Paradigm to be better, but it's undeniable. You know, when you win in every single category, I mean, what are you going to do? Like,
Yeah. I
what
mean,
I'm going to do is I'm going to retest just to make sure. I'm going to take it out in the course, and then I mean, I might have my gamer for next year. I'm definitely going to give everything a shot,
Oh,
like I
yeah,
do
me
every
too.
year. I mean, I test everything. I'm just like you. I mean, I test everything. I just don't want to
Yep.
switch, so I end up staying with the Slider S for 8 years. That's how that
Yep. I test everything and I want to switch. I'm hoping something wins. So.
happened. Well, we hope Xander gets better. I think he was citing a back injury.
Ugh.
Yeah, so he actually WD'd from the Pro-Am now that I think about it too. So he must have just been
Oh.
struggling all week. But Rom's still in the tournament. I got to check on Sam Burns. We might have to give an update later in the show. I'll try to track some photos down real quick. So those were the two like big launches that everyone was expecting and could not wait to see in-hand photos. I was happy to be able to produce those and big names for Taylor and Callaway. I mean, you got Colin Scheffler, Xander, Rom, all putting in the new stuff. First week of 2023, definitely lived up to the hype. The first tournament,
Yeah.
so we
Oh,
can
for
move on
sure.
from there because there were plenty other stories going on.
Oh,
All right, this one I actually didn't see. It was Dylan DeChair from golf.com. He scooped me on this one. I didn't see Justin Thomas putting at all this week, but
yeah.
apparently he switched back to a blade putter. Obviously, last year he had a million different 101 mallets. You know, the dual winged mallet, the X5 or the T5 or any version
Yep.
of the winged 5 from Scotty Cameron. JT played last year, comes out first week of 2023 with a blade putter that he first used in middle school. So
Yeah,
he
I
started
know.
playing this putter in middle school. I think he played it in high school a little bit and then maybe a couple rounds in college, I believe. So it's just the Scotty Cameron Blade SSS 303. He brings it out. He brings it out to the Century Tournament of Champions after the year he had listed. last year. I mean, just such a funny putter switch to me. But it goes to show that, like, it can get confusing when you start changing putter after putter after putter, and you got to eventually just go back to a baseline. And apparently he travels with this putter a lot, and he kind of just putts with it, like, maybe in his hotel room or, you know, whatever late-night putting they do at the Airbnb or something like that. I think it's a putter that, you know, he just practices with on the road, and he actually switched to it this week.
Yeah.
What do you got on this?
Yeah, you gotta love the guy. I mean, the funny thing is too is like he had this in middle school, so he had a 303 stainless circle T in middle school.
Yeah, good for him. I don't think I had that in middle school.
Dude, I definitely didn't have one in middle school.
I still don't have it.
Yeah, I mean, it's the old kind of Newport II, style. Just the JT on the toe, super simple, super clean. Kind of that pro platinum finish. Pretty small milling, pretty shallow milling on it. The dancing Scotty Cameron in the toe or on the heel. But yeah, just a simple overall putter. But like you said, really interesting because he's so used to playing these big long mallets and everything, and now you're going to this compact squared off blade. But you know, like you said, I mean, if he putts well with it when he's just messing around or practicing or whatever, why not give it another shot? Who knows? You know, I mean, even if it's just a honeymoon couple tournaments. You know, what's the big deal? But like you said, I mean, he's gone through a few putter changes. He definitely was looking for something. Why not go back to something that you had a ton of faith in? Because you know when he got that thing in middle school, he was so jacked about it. To go off and get a circle T with your initial stamped in it and everything. How jacked was that guy?
So you can't even imagine. Like, do you remember your first, you know, quote-unquote high-end putter purchase or whether it was gifted to you? Like, do you remember your first time getting a really good putter?
But to me, it wasn't as high end as I kind of thought it was. It was like a Mizuno TP Mills, and it was like a discontinued whatever model. And I think I got it like on eBay for like $100 or something. But it was like my first like brand new, not like a dad hand me down, whatever milled putter, all that. And in my eyes, it was like a great stick. Like I loved it. I was so excited to get it. So, yeah, I mean, I get it. Like I said, and that's just a $100 putter off eBay that, like, I just got. I can only imagine, you know, open up the box and this, you know, stainless steel boy sitting in there. Like, here you go. That had to be wild.
I remember the first one I got. It was definitely in high school, like, kind of when I made that transition to taking golf, like, pretty seriously. My mom took me to, I don't remember, I wish I remembered the name of the store. I don't think I'm going to be able to think of it. But they sold, like, a lot of used golf clubs. I've always been a big proponent of used clubs because I think you can just get what you want and kind of sacrifice the newness of it. You know, a lot like how people treat cars as well. I won't get into that. Definitely won't get into that topic.
Okay. Well, another show.
They had a couple Scotties at this used store, and they really weren't that expensive. I believe it was a... It was a Laguna. It was definitely a Laguna. I don't remember exactly what series it was, but it was a Scotty Cameron Laguna. Some light milling on it. And then I re-gripped it. It had the original Scotty Cameron grip, and I re-gripped it. I was, like, so mad at myself a couple years later. I was like, I just didn't know. Like, I straight up didn't know. I wasn't super into gear. I just knew I wanted the Scotty. And I loved the Laguna head shape. I ended up trading it back in to get the one with the green, red, yellow, blue. It was like a special select, I think, Scotty. A Newport 2 style with a plumber's neck because the Laguna had like the little, you know, slant neck, and I didn't think it was great for my stroke. But I just remember that feeling of like putting with it for the first time and actually buying it and then taking it out to the course. It just made golf like a little bit more special getting that high end putter at the time. So I remember that feeling, and JT, he must have been a fired up kid getting a circle T at that time.
Ugh.
And probably just huge nostalgia factor for him going back to that putter. So whether he putts well or not, I think it's just a really interesting, cool switch that I think we've all been there. You know, we go back to a putter that worked in high school or college or in that round 7 years ago where you just putted lights out. It's like, well, let me give that a try. I haven't done anything but three putt lately. So I always encourage just going back to a baseline, seeing if you like it, and then if not, just keep trying, which I'm sure is what's going to happen with JT. He's just going to keep trying until he gets super comfortable with the putter. But I love that he just went back to square one. Reset.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. I mean, I still have, like, I mean, I think the oldest putter I have that I actually used in my selection was like 2012. And it usually gets out for at least a round or two, you know, for the year. I usually take it out and just putt with it. And it's an Odyssey number 7, the Versus 7.
You love the
so it
seven.
Makes it out every once in a while.
I know.
Yeah. So it's you know, I get it. It's kind of cool. I don't have anything from when I was 15, but I wasn't playing golf when I was 15. So there you go.
Okay. We can move on from JT. We got Luke List up next.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why don't you take this topic, Knudsen? Because I don't know exactly what's going on here, because I sent you a photo, and I think we both had a little bit of confusion, but can you fill us in on what's going on with Luke List's new iron set that he just put in play this week?
Yeah, so Luke List, you were sitting there, and was it the other night? It was like two nights ago, whatever. You sent me a text, and you're like, hey, have you ever seen this iron? And I was like... And I looked at it, and I just go, yeah, that's the PXG 0317ST. And
that's
you go, no, it's a, and you're like, yeah, and I'm like, yeah, it's the 3 and 4 iron in those sets in the 317ST is a cavity back. There it is. And for whatever reason, I don't know if you rub back, I looked a little closer, and I was like, wait a minute, that's a 0317CB.
Yep.
Not ST, CB.
When I sent you the photo, I just sent you a photo, and I was like, does this mean anything to you?
Yeah.
Because I just wanted to see what you had to say.
And at first, I don't think I looked at it close enough to say, you know, yes or no, whatever. I was just kind of like, yeah, it's the ST. I didn't even, like, look that close to the hosel. And then when I looked at the hosel, I was like, wait a minute. So, yeah, it looks like Luke List has the full set of 0317. If you're familiar with PXG, they recently released the 0317ST, which was basically a blade. The 3 and 4 iron were really great-looking cavity backs. And everybody in our forum, when the photos of those irons went up, said, man, I want the full set, or I want 4 through 7 iron, or 4 through 6 iron. Everybody wanted more of those CBs, the cavity back version. They got a great milled little pocket, all that. I have the 4 iron in a bag over here because I have a set of the STs. And it's a great looking iron, really is. So Luke List all of a sudden shows up with the full set, but they're now called the 317CB. So it looks like PXG probably followed along in the Golf WRX forums, realized that a lot of us there wanted the full CB set. And so it's a 3-time forge. I'm pretty sure it's carbon steel, but it's got a cavity back, so it'll be a little bigger. The STs are pretty small, pretty compact. These, I'm going to assume, are going to be just a hair bigger, maybe a little longer heel to toe, and just a slightly bigger face than the ST. But the CB, yeah, rolling three or four through pitching wedge are in Luke List bags. So I think they look really good. I think PXGN, that CB, did a great job with that iron, the looks of it. If you haven't hit the STs, they're super, super soft. They feel great. It's a great forged club. So it'll be, I think these things, if they come to retail, like if this is part of whatever launch there may be in 2023 for PXG, if they're coming out with some new stuff and these come out, I think these would be a huge hit because you'll get kind of some of that blade performance with a little more forgiveness. So, but pretty cool. Pretty cool when you caught it. I was pretty surprised.
I was just staring at these irons sitting in Luke List's bag. Wait, they are perfectly placed in his bag, by the way. You guys got to all check out the photo. It's in the Wednesday Part 1 General Gallery in Torn Pre-Release on Golf WRX forums. But I was just staring at these irons in the bag. I was like, are these new? It's like, I feel like I've seen these before. I've seen the design.
Yeah.
But they say CB on them. I was like, there's no way they said CB. I was like, they had to have been ST. So, like, what am I looking at? Are these a custom set? Or is this the full set of CBs that PXG is coming out with? And I just asked Luke. I was like, are these new irons? He's like, yeah, I just put them in the bag this week. I was like, okay, so they're new for you. Like, are they new? And he was like, I don't know. He was like, I think they came out in the fall. I'm really not sure. But they're new for me this week. I was like, how you like them? He's like, they're awesome. It's like, they're going in play? He's like, yeah, they're going in play. So I was just confused. I was like, okay, so they're new for Luke, but are they actually new? And then I Google 0317CB just to see if I'm crazy. I see nothing. So I send you a photo. I was like, if anyone's going to know what's going on here, it's probably you.
And yeah, I like
and
I said,
like, at first, wait, I don't know either. I was like, all right, this is weird. So what is going on? But I feel like we kind of filled in the blanks and we figured out what's happening. They made a full set of 0317CBs right now. They're just prototypes. It seems like something that the public obviously has been asking for, and it seems like PXG might deliver them at some point in 2023. I have no idea when, but that brings me to a question. How many companies do you think use GolfWRX forums as part of their research and development?
You know, I know that there's a ton, if not all OEMs browse the forums. They go in there, they read, they want to see what people are talking about. The downside is that we're kind of a small section of golfers. You know, I mean, GolfWRX is, for the most part, a lot of hardcore people who play, like, you know, every day they can possibly play, love new equipment, research it. There's, you know, if you polled everything, it's probably a lower handicap kind of section. So as much as I think we're loud about what we like and don't like and think should come out, the amount of what OEMs sell that GolfWRXers really want is a much smaller percentage than what the rest of the golfing public buys. So I think there, it definitely is, people who listen. And I think there is stuff that, that comes out because, you know, the squeaky wheel gets the oil, and there's a lot of squeaking going on sometimes. You know, I don't think we have as much pull as we would like to have. Let's put it that way.
All right. Fair enough. But we can move along.
Yeah. But if those STs, like I said, I've hit the blades and they're extremely soft. If these are like that, but more forgiving, oof, a lot of golfers are going to like that.
So now we got the trade wire. You know, 2023 is when you start seeing where guys end up, what new deals they have, exiting from old deals, turning free agents. We had a lot of shifting going on. So I'll start just going through it. You can provide thoughts as you see fit. First one up. Mr. Black Bag showed up with an all-black Vessel bag instead of his usual Titleist staff bag. Also, no Hugo Boss logo on his hat. Of course, I'm talking about Patrick Cantlay. Now, rumors have been swirling about Patrick Cantlay going to LIV. And, you know, the more rumors you hear from different sources, the more likely it becomes. In my eyes, it's just so many people are talking about it, there must be truth. Amidst that rumor mill that's swirling, he shows up to the Century Tournament of Champions all black bag. So I was like, what is going on here? So apparently he's not going to LIV.
No.
He spoke very candidly at press conferences. He did a couple of podcasts where he talked about it. He just sees the LIV as like a new competitive business. If that's where all the best golfers are going, you know, maybe that's where he wants to go. He's thinking about it, but right now he's staying put. He doesn't want to leave. So it's basically just coincidence. Now, he's not a full Titleist staffer anymore. He still has a ball, glove, and shoe deal, but he's no longer a Titleist through the bag, which is funny because I looked at his golf clubs and they're still all Titleist. He's still playing the same stuff. He's just always been that type of guy that doesn't switch into the newest products. You know, he's not like the Zalatoris or the Justin Thomas, Jordan Spieth, who's going to be at like the first fitting day, give his feedback, you know, make prototypes and stuff. He kind of just stays in his old equipment. What does he still have? The 718 AP2, 716? He has an old model AP2s, and he hasn't changed in years. And he's kind of been the same way with like his fairway woods, his driver, his wedges. Like, he just doesn't really like changing a lot. So that could make sense. I mean, I don't know whose decision it was for him to not be full-time Titleist. You know, maybe he's demanding a bunch of money and they're seeing it as like, well, you never played the new stuff anyway, so that's not a value to us. Or maybe he wants to explore other options in terms of going like with custom irons from Amira, or he wants to play a different putter and he doesn't want to be locked in. It could be so many different reasons why. I just thought it was interesting, the timing of it, but, you know, happens to be coincidence. But no more Titleists for Patrick Cantlay, at least as a full-time staffer.
Yeah, it's, you know, and the thing is, I like Cantlay. I think he's a great player. I love, like, the passion he plays with. He's to me, it's just, he's a fun guy to watch, personally. But yeah, I mean, 2 years ago, or a year ago, he was an Audemars Piguet watch guy, gone. Now Titleist and all that gone, Hugo Boss gone. Like he's kind of stripping himself down of a lot of different sponsors, and he hasn't necessarily replaced them with anything new. And I don't know, maybe he's fishing for a really big deal, like a Nike type deal where, you know, they kind of take over everything. Or is he's just looking to, yeah, potentially be that free agent and sees, you know what, if I play whatever I want to play and whatever's best for my game, not necessarily one manufacturer or whatever, maybe I perform better, I win a few more tournaments, and I make more money anyway. Not really sure, but I'd expect that black bag not to last too long. I got to think somebody's going to step in there just to at least sponsor the bag. You know, like how kind of JT has AT, or Spieth has like AT&T, you know, on the bag. It's not a Titleist bag. I could see that kind of happening here. But yeah, I mean, I think he maybe is just a guy who, I don't know, just maybe he's, maybe him and sponsors are just tough to work around. Maybe they want him to come and do a ton of corporate events and do a bunch of stuff and all this, and he'd rather focus on his game. Yeah, I don't know.
Say, I don't
know what the story
he's
is.
That type of guy. I don't think he's really like a company pitch man. Like he's not going to be in a bunch of commercials and talk up the product. You know, he kind of just keeps it real. I actually respect how he kind of deals with the media. It just seems like he speaks his mind. He kind of stays out of it. He doesn't really care. He just wants to play really well week in and week out and stack a bunch of money that way. And it just had me thinking, like, I don't think we're too far away from a time in professional golf where a top guy just doesn't have any sponsors at all. Like, nothing on the hat, nothing on the bag, nothing in the bag. Just completely play what they want because there's so much money flying around. Like, this is an elevated event this week, and there's only 38 players or 39 players, Xander withdrew. Last place gets $200,000.
Yeah, I mean,
last place.
Yeah,
and it's like, what are some of these? Some of these deals might only be $250,000. Like, you know, you go down the official World Golf Rankings list a little bit, and you talk about maybe like something on the sleeve or something on the collar, something on the bag, the hat. I mean, how much money are they possibly even getting for that?
You know,
$250,000 might be what it is, and it's like you might pocket that for finishing last place. You know, to a guy like Patrick Cantlay, even $1 million, what is that? That's a drop in the bucket for him. How much did he pocket last year? How much is he going to pocket this year with elevated events? You know, he qualifies for all those. He plays well in two or three of them, playing what he wants and not having to fulfill things like media days, sponsor events. Like, he got rid of probably a lot of headaches for him, especially seeming like he's a guy that doesn't really play ball like that.
No.
He's more just a real guy, so I don't know. This is an interesting one for me, but I'm not shocked by it at all. The more I've gotten to think about it, the more it makes sense for a guy like Cantlay and probably more guys going forward, honestly.
Yeah, I agree. Like you said, I mean, with the money, you know, like you said, the money from the big OEMs that used to be huge deals, probably not really there anymore. Yeah, why tie yourself to one thing when you don't like X company's hybrid, or you don't like X company's fairway woods, or if you can make your own bag, play the best golf that you mentally can, you know your bag is set up for you, and all you're doing is, you know, you're losing some money in sponsorship that you'll probably make up with some better place finishes. Like you said, even if it's, say it's $500,000, you know, for a deal, or even, like you said, a million. Say it's $1 million for a deal from a big OEM to, you know, fully everything, you're all that brand. All you need to do is finish one or two top tens, and you could make that money back in like two top tens and like a top 25.
And you have year-long comfort, you know?
Yeah, and
like
you can...
comfort. It's not something you even have to worry about. It's not like, oh, the comfort is breathing down my neck to change into this new fairway wood. Like, I don't want to change into the new fairway wood, but I have to anyway because that's part of my contract. It's like, well,
or I've got to go
just
do
get
all
rid
these...
of the contract and still play Titleist, but I just don't want to play the new one. I don't know if that's how they do it. They probably don't actually like literally force you into it, but
no, but you know, but there's times where there's things where like, hey man, you know, like if you're you know, sponsored by Mercedes-Benz. Mercedes-Benz probably put something on that you need to show up to, and you need to go and, you know, put on the happy face and wave your hands and, you know, shake everybody's hand and, you know, be accessible. And if you're, you know, a Mercedes guy and then an RBC Bank guy and you name it, you've got, you know, five big sponsors like that. The weeks where you sit there and go, well, I'm going to go home, spend time with my family, relax, get ready for the next, you know, couple weeks where I'm going to be out on tour. No, you're going to do those things.
Yeah, you're doing a and corporate outing where you probably have to
make a
10-minute speech at the dinner.
Yeah, and all that. Go and you got to go play with the CEO and somebody else. Like instead of doing that stuff, you just basically focus on your game. You relax when you want to, whatever. I mean, that I can see. Like and like you said, and all it takes to make $1 million back is a couple top tens and a couple top 25s. For a guy like Cantley, that's probably not that big of a deal.
Or go to Hawaii, finish last place, and pocket $200,000.
And a quarter of it's done. Like a quarter of that money's done. So it'll be interesting to see by the end of the year what he looks like and his bag looks like. But
keeping my eye focused.
I don't think he's going to change a whole lot, though. We'll see.
Or he might show up next tournament with completely customized. No. On the flip side of that, we have someone that stayed at Titleist where the rumor mill was absolutely swirling about this kid. You know, where was he going to end up? How big of a deal was he going to cut? Tom Kim, he shows up to the Century Tournament of Champions rocking all sorts of Nike checks all over.
Yep.
So he obviously signed a Nike apparel deal because he had shoes, shirt, hat, probably belt, probably underwear, probably socks. He's a Nike guy now. But he did stay with Titleist for his equipment. Still has the Titleist staff bag, Titleist club. So it seems that he re-upped with Titleist and decided to kind of cash out in terms of getting that Nike apparel deal. And I know that we've had this conversation before. It's like, if you can get the Nike deal, then you can just partner with whatever club company you want. Because check's going to be bigger than probably any other check that equipment companies are going to offer. I don't know that for a fact, but that's... it's got to be true.
Yeah.
I mean, it just has to be. You know, Nike apparel just, all they do is print money. You see Nike swooshes, they just see checks.
That's right.
So congratulations to Tom Kim. That's definitely a big pull for him. And probably congratulations to Titleist, too, you know.
Yeah, for keeping him.
There's probably going to be some sort of bidding war between, you know, Callaway, TaylorMade, Titleist for Tom Kim. He really broke out as a superstar.
Two wins,
killed it with the President's Cup. Was super entertaining. Obviously, a very engaging kid. A lot of charisma. So he's like equipment company's dream. So,
congrats
to Titleist for keeping him, I suppose.
And the other interesting thing is that he's Nike, and most Nike guys, you don't get to have any other logos on the clothes. Like that's it. He still has the AP logo from the photo. At least I saw one of them. He still had the AP logo on his sleeve, which was shocking to me. I thought when I heard he signed that Nike deal, saw the photo of him wearing all Nike stuff, I was shocked to see that logo still on the sleeve. So, I mean, the Nike deals aren't the old cat or the old Jason Day, Rory McIlroy, 250 mil jobs anymore. Like those days are long gone.
Who knows?
But like you said, I mean, Tom Kim is a kid who, I mean, I call him a kid. He's a man. But, he's a guy who, if you have a chance to sign him right now, you're probably getting a good deal because that boy's going to win some tournaments.
Yeah,
and he seems like a super, you know, a super cool guy. So I've never met him or anything, but he seems pretty exciting and pretty willing to go out there and grind. And, like I said, he's going to win some tournaments. So you're going to see him a lot on TV.
I mean, I guess I'm happy for him and just kind of happy in general that a young, successful golfer came out, got a couple wins, and didn't switch equipment companies. You know, we've seen that mistake happen a bunch where it's like, ooh, I have these wins. My value is really high. I should take advantage of it by way of signing a huge equipment deal, and then they change 14 clubs, and then they kind of disappear for 2 years.
Yep.
It's like, especially if you change the golf ball, I mean, that's a big switch.
Yeah.
And you kind of got to stick with what got you there. And in my opinion, like, you're gonna make huge bag changes 2 years in and you're playing well. Like, this is already a tough transition. You got money now, you got fame now, and now you're switching everything. And it's like, you can see why guys kind of lose their way a little bit after getting that big first equipment deal and changing companies. So just to see him kind of stay comfortable with the actual golf clubs, and, you know, aside from like breathability and performance and the way a shirt tucks in, like it doesn't really matter what you wear. I don't think that's going to affect him at all. He probably doesn't even remember that he has Nike on the hat, you know, so that's not something that's going to influence the actual game on the course. So I think he really did it the right way. Now,
I agree.
That's not saying anything about what company, like whether he went to Callaway or TaylorMade or Titleist. I'm not saying any specific brand would like mess with his game. I'm just saying switching can be problematic, and we've seen it happen before.
Definitely.
We saw things happen to Rory after he made a big early career switch to golf clubs. So it's just cool. I think Tom Kim made a really solid play. I think that was a good deal for him.
Yeah, I'm a big Tom Kim fan. I can't wait to see what he does this year. So I'm a big fan.
Worst kept secret in golf.
I probably know who it is. Yeah.
So he was on staff with Callaway. We saw him just do a little testing throughout kind of the back half of, or at least the back quarter of last season. 2023, it's official. Kevin Kisner signed with Wilson, along with Trey Mullinax as well. So Kisner wasn't at the Tournament of Champions. Mullinax was. They're both full-time Wilson staffers. I believe that we have what's in the bag and just some more like quotes and info over on golfdirects.com. So check that out if you want more. But yeah, Kevin Kisner to Wilson. Obviously, it probably doesn't surprise you, but what do you just think about the move, like in general, in terms of Wilson snagging? You know, it's a pretty big name, pretty popular.
Yeah.
Pretty popular guy.
It's a unique fit because, I mean, Wilson, when you think of, I mean, all the pros they have are pretty quiet, reserved, you know, guys, very traditional. And that's kind of the opposite of Kisner. I mean, he's kind of outspoken. He's, you know, funny. He's out there. But you know what? I mean, I don't think between him and Callaway, he played stuff that was so old. I mean, he was playing the old Apex Pros. He was playing the old Great Big Bertha. He was playing. I mean, for the most part, I mean, he tried some of the new stuff. You saw it kind of like go in and out of the bag a little bit. But I don't think he was ever comfortable there with moving on, and Callaway probably put a little pressure on him to move on, you know, especially as he got bigger and as he, you know, played better and won. You know, you want to see your players win with the brand new gear. Like that's the big thing. And I think you can kind of see that just wasn't going to happen. So I'm pretty sure they were both kind of happy with parting ways, knowing that, hey, you know what, we're just not the fit for each other. And it'll be interesting to see what he does at Wilson. You know, I mean, they don't have quite the extensive line. They don't have, you know, as many clubs out there, whatever that he would play like Callaway does. But the one thing they do is it looks like if you're a staffer, driver-wise or wood-wise, we see a lot of prototypes. So if he's really after something, you know, if he's after kind of a new version of his Great Big Bertha, the company that might make him one that's exactly the same with the, you know, maybe newer face technology and some other stuff, it's probably Wilson, because we're probably going to see a Wilson Labs or, you know, some type of proto that some other companies probably wouldn't be willing to do for a guy like Kiz. But it's going to be interesting because, like I said, they definitely are different personalities for sure.
I think Wilson's pretty lenient as far as just like my speculation outside looking in, just seeing like guys who are on Wilson. And I mean lenient in terms of, you know, you don't have to necessarily play a Wilson driver. You know, you can use a TaylorMade or a Ping or a Titleist if you want. But my guess would be that, like, there's some sort of bonus structure in terms of if you win with the driver or you play it a certain number of weeks or whatever fancy little details they can throw in the contracts to kind of incentivize you to play the driver. But I think there's probably a smaller minimum amount of clubs that you have to play for Wilson.
Yeah.
And they're probably pretty cool with, you know, you playing like 9 Wilson clubs, filling out a couple wedges, putter, driver. Like, I don't think, you know, they're as strict, whereas Callaway probably was like, okay, we'll give you one club that's not Callaway, but you got to kind of work with us. Like, we need more new clubs or else, you know, what kind of value are you bringing to the table for for Callaway. So when contract negotiations came up, I'm sure it was mutual because Kisner wants to play the old Callaway stuff. He's not a guy that loves switching into new stuff. Like you said, he plays a bunch of old clubs. And yeah. Callaway probably got to the point, it's like, I mean, are you going to play the new paradigm or what? You know, or are we going to have to, you know, really pull your arm? And they probably just got to the point where it's like, all right, I'm going to go shopping for a different brand, a better setup for me. And Callaway was probably like, all right, I mean, we're about to sign good. So, do whatever you want to do, man.
Yeah. And we'll see. Like I said, I mean, it'll be interesting to see what comes and goes in the bag, because I think there's going to be some teething with that switch, because a guy like Kisner is very particular.
There's going to be some teething.
You know, I mean, we're going to see some irons, wedges, whatever. It's going to go in and out of the bag. But, you know, like I said, I think Wilson's very open to doing a lot for their players to get them into equipment, and they're willing to prototype some stuff for a guy like Kisner, who isn't a top 10, top 5 guy. They're willing to make him some stuff that might be a little special to make sure that he's happy and he's in stuff that he likes. So
yeah, Wilson's cool with the tour prototypes. You know, they did driver versus driver two. They love the prototype.
Yeah. I think we can see some pretty wild stuff come out of there. If, you know, him and Trey really want something different, we could see some cool prototype stuff jumping out of those bags.
Love it. So something to keep your eye on there. Now, Wilson did lose someone.
Yep.
Did you see this?
I did.
Gary Woodland, officially a Cobra staffer.
Yeah.
Did you see this coming?
Not really. I mean,
he did play the Aerojet at Houston.
Yeah. But again, we're talking Woods and Wilson Woods. Typically, when you look in Wilson staffer bags, the one club that if you're going to say, I'm going to pull head covers, you know, or I'm going to look in the bag, what do you think's not Wilson? The first club you're going to say is probably a driver.
Yeah.
So they're not 100% shocked at that.
But he did switch to Cobra, so he's out. I'm curious to see what's going to be in his bag. I don't believe he was at Tournament Champions. I didn't see him, so I don't know exactly what he has in the bag. Maybe you have some intel on that. If you don't, then the first time I see Gary, I'm going right up to his bag and checking out what irons especially he has in there. Because he was definitely playing those staff model blades for years.
Years, yeah. I have nothing on it, unfortunately, other than knowing that he went. But with Cobra, I mean, we've seen some new stuff in Ricky's bag. We've seen some new stuff in, somebody else had something else on tour. I mean, we've seen a little bit. We haven't seen a lot of their stuff yet. We've seen the Aerojet driver. We've seen a little bit of some of the tour type irons, that have kind of shown up on tour at the end of last year. So I think they've got a lot of equipment probably ready to go for a guy like him. So I don't think the switch is going to be crazy big for a guy like that. The biggest thing you're going to know that you're going to look at is putter and wedges, what goes in the bag. Because typically when you look at Cobra staffers, the thing that doesn't necessarily make it sometimes is wedges, and a lot of times putters. So that'll be the one that you'll kind of think that, you know, driver through pitch or driver through 9-iron, probably all Cobra. After that, it'll be interesting to see what he does.
I am positive that Gary Woodland does not listen to Two Guys Talking Golf. I'm not sure about a lot of things, but I am sure about that. But on the off chance that he does listen, I have a message for Gary Woodland.
Oh boy. This sounds like intense.
Please play the Rev 33s.
Oh, be
that's
sweet.
That's my only ask.
That'd be sweet.
How satisfying. That'd be awesome. Would that be? The Rev 33s probably make it. Finally make it into a bag on tour, and they stay there for 4 years. Woodland's a guy that doesn't switch. Yeah. So yeah. if he likes the Rev 33s, he throws them in the bag. I think that would be a great story for Cobra. It just goes full circle for them.
Yeah, that'd be pretty awesome. He comes out with some Rev 33s and just plays them for like I said. Do they give him 50 sets and he just plays them for the next 4 years?
That's kind of all I got. Sungjae Im switching to a Zenergy Superstroke Grip, as did Tom Kim. He switched into a Zenergy Superstroke Grip as well. We saw a bunch of new Odyssey White Hot, Versa Putters, and Tri Hot 5K. All sorts of different new models different sizes, different sight lines, all sorts of stuff. I loved seeing the Versa.
Yeah, me too.
Come back. I just think those are such a great design. Now, were they ever really in my bag? No. But every time I pick them up, I feel really comfortable with them. It was almost like those Never Compromise putters. I always loved the Never Compromise. Yeah. And almost like kind of a similar look to the White Hot Versa. It's just that visual extra alignment cue. And even during the stroke, the way the white pops against the black lines on the Versa. I definitely like those putters. I can't say that I've ever really gamed them, but I definitely do. I do like the putters. Did you happen to look at all the photos? They do have a John Rahm on there, a Rossi.
Yep.
Tri-Hot 5K.
For 5K. The
John Rahm putter fans. What else kind of caught your eye there?
The Versa stuff is pretty cool. I've always been a big Versa guy. I have a Versa 7 and OG. And the best thing is the new one, the one that you spotted on tour has the same 3-dot top line, the same way. I mean, it's the identical putter, which is pretty cool. Cause at first I was like, man, I want to get a number 7. And then I was like, well, it's the same number 7 I got.
Yeah.
It does have some movable weights. I think the Tri-Hot 5K 7 looks really good. I'm a little worried it's the bigger head, which I don't like the look of as much.
It is bigger.
I don't love that one. The double wide 5K is awesome. Like, just looking at the look of that, I really like the look of it. But no, I think they look really good. I think the 5K stuff's been super hot on tour. I think a lot of guys have played 5K putters. So it's cool to see them expand that line. They're not cheap, unfortunately, but they are pretty high quality and pretty nice. So I wouldn't mind rolling a couple of those, like the double wide, the number 7, in the 5K, because they do look really, really good.
All right, last topic. It's going to be a question for you.
Okay.
There were basically three main, like, awesome Hawaii custom head cover schemes going around out there. So we had Superstroke with their limited edition Hawaii collection. We had Ping with a lot of different, driver head covers, fairway head covers, hats, putter covers. Then we had the Odyssey McLovin putter cover from Superbad. I don't know how many people have seen Superbad that listen to this show. I've definitely seen it. Great movie. Which company do you think nailed the Hawaii customs the best?
You know what? I mean, the McLovin one is so good because I almost forgot that. That's true. And I absolutely forgot that it was a Hawaii ID. You know, when I mean, watching the movie, I've seen it probably 10 times in my life. And so funny, the whole scene with him and the ID. And I forgot it was Hawaii until seeing that. I was like, what? Like, it took me a second to get it. And then I was like, that's pretty good. But I don't know, man. I mean, the Superstroke one's pretty cool. I mean, they've got the grips and the putter and the putter covers that match.
I like the turtle especially.
Yeah, the turtle's really cool. Yeah. And like I said, just the how they kind of match and all that. They're simple, but they're when you say Hawaii, that's 100% what you think of. Like, you think of a shirt with flowers and turtles. And I think I give it to them just of how traditional it was. And they just look really cool. I like them.
I'm going with the McLovin head cover.
Yeah, but it's hard to beat. I mean, I'm not going to lie. I respect it.
That's one of the coolest head covers the last 10 years, in my opinion. I thought Superstroke and Ping both absolutely killed it. They did a great job, and I think all these companies, Superstroke, Ping, Odyssey, I think they're all selling them on their websites right now. Now, I don't know how limited all this stuff is or how expensive it is. I haven't checked on that, but I did ask each of the companies they're available. So if you love Superbad and you love the McLovin cover, I think you can get it.
I'm willing to bet. I'm literally navigating to it right now, but I'm willing to bet that cover is sold out already. If they're selling it, I guarantee
they would have had to make so many to not sell out of those.
Oh, wait a minute! Is it not sold out yet? It is. No, it's not available. Sold out. It didn't say sold out right when I pulled up the page, and as soon as you click on the blade or the mallet, it's sold out. So
as expected. As expected.
Yeah, I mean, come on. How do you not? So.
Love that movie. I think I might have to watch that tonight.
Oh, I like it.
Obviously
like
not it. A super bad ad.
we're sponsored by Superbad, the movie.
All right. that's really all I got from Maui and Hawaii. Unfortunately, I'm not going over to Oahu, not going to Sony Open. I think you're taking a little trip. We won't reveal where you're going to or what you're going to be doing there. I think people will see the content.
I mean, I can say, I mean, I'm you know, I'm going to the kingdom, so.
All right, there
we can,
it is.
We can say where I'm going. We can
top off it, but.
Yeah, sure, we can say where we're going. So we're going to the kingdom. It's going to be, I think five Golf DBRX members who are lucky enough to go maybe hit some new gear, and it should be pretty fun. Pretty exciting.
What you're going to be testing and hitting.
I don't know. It's going to be tough. So
we'll just say you're going to be testing out Colin and Scotty Scheffler's new driver. We won't say what it is or what company.
Don't know what it is.
Who knows?
Nope, don't know what it is, but
they're gamer drivers.
That's right. So it'll be a good time. But it'll be a fun time, and looking forward to it.
Well, that's all I got, man. That was Hawaii. Man. I didn't catch much of a tan out there, unfortunately, because it rained about half the time. Beautiful place, though. If you can ever get yourself there, I definitely recommend it. The course looks as hilly as I remember it. I played it maybe 10, 12 years ago in like 35-mile-per-hour gusting winds. There's not a breath of wind out there this week. So if it stays in those conditions, slightly wet, no wind, they're just going to torch it.
Oh, I'm about to say, scores are going to be crazy low.
I don't think the greens have enough defense to them to stop these guys from going super low. So, you know, if there's no wind that comes through, I'm not shocked to see something crazy low, even though it's a limited field. But I hope everyone enjoys the coverage. It hurts not being in Hawaii anymore. It is an absolutely gorgeous place, seeing whales break out in the water and, you know, the tropical jungles and volcanoes. Definitely a cool place. It's a little expensive, so make sure you budget out for that. But anyway, we got through about 27 topics from this week. That was Two Guys Talking Golf, the island version. We'll see you guys next week.